Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Mully and Hall.
Fantastic, fantastic show.
Chicago sports talk for your morning.
Oh, man, I really wanted to talk to him.
Appreciate the love, big homie.
I want to ask you about La Russa for a second because I don't want to overstate how amusing it is to hear him on a daily basis. But you're right. We're adjusting to kind of hearing him give the state of spring training every day. And it's been a while since we heard from Tony La Russa on such a regular basis. He sounds like, as we have pointed out, there's so much newness that he's being introduced to. There's Luis Robert in person. There's Michael Kopech in person. There's the velocity. There's this, there's that. How much do you think that he knew about the White Sox before he took the job? And that's not meant to be like, I'm not playing gotcha here. I'm just curious
what you think. I get you.
Did he pay much attention to this team? Because he seems like he is surprised by what he's watching because it is his first impression of seeing it.
I think he did a ton of research. I think he did all of his homework. I think he watched a lot of stuff. I think that that's when he was even looking to take the job. I don't think he would have taken the job, and we'll talk to him tomorrow, but I don't think he would have signed on if this wasn't a good team. If he didn't believe that he could have an impact on it, I don't think at age 76 he'd be interested in kind of a 2 years ago White Sox team, right? Or any team maybe in the Robin era. I think he's about winning, and he wants to see them win. As a reporter, you know this very well, David. As a writer, you understand this. There's no opportunity to be wandering around spring training and talking to 15 guys. So when I read the paper, I see the stories that are with the players that have talked on the Zoom. So the follow-up questions will be about each guy. And La Russa then, given his enthusiasm or whatever way you want to describe it, he speaks about these guys with this like, oh gosh, he can do this and he can do that. So he gives the impression that he's discovered them when he's already done all the homework on it. But now, because they've talked, he's asked specifically about one guy or another, and he's responding to that.
That's a really good way to put it, and that's worth remembering. He's playing along.
Luis is a six-tool player. I know Luis can run, can hit a mile, and can play great defense. And those are Mike Trout-type talents.
He's going to be the next Mike Trout.
Mike Mulligan and David Hall, taking you up to 9 o'clock on 670 The Score.
Mully and Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. What an exciting day. It's a glorious Friday. And guess what? Maybe the Bears are popular in the NFL. Who knew it?
Morning,
it's a destination spot, David.
Happy Friday. How are you? Just enjoying a cup of Seattle's best.
Nice.
Pondering the possibilities. This is a big... Yeah, this is a day that we were looking forward to already. We got Tony La Russa, we've got Tommy Hotovy on the show, and now we have another Bears quarterback possibility to overstate and exaggerate. We can talk about Russell Wilson for 4 hours, but it is and was a big surprise to see the Bears link to Russell Wilson yesterday. I will say that I understand what all the uproar is about.
And it wasn't the Bears linked to Russell Wilson. It was Russell Wilson linked to the Bears. How often does this happen where it's not, hey, we might want this guy, or, you know, we could want that guy. Guess what? We made his list. Oh, my gosh. How terribly exciting. Russell Wilson, just to clarify, has not demanded a trade. Okay. And his agent, Mark Rogers, told ESPN that Wilson has not told the Seahawks that he wants to play in Seattle. But if a trade were considered, the only teams he'd be willing to go to are the Cowboys, the Saints, the Raiders, or, wait for it, the Bears. They're in the Final Four. Bears made the Final Four in the imaginary not-to-take-place trade.
And that came out yesterday afternoon, and all of a sudden Chicago became Sally Field. You really like me. You like me. And all day people pondered the possibilities, and it was a lot of fun. But, Molly, let's start with the report and with the news that Adam Schefter sort of shared. That is, knowing Russell Wilson kind of from afar, knowing what we know of him as sort of this celebrity quarterback diva who's a great quarterback. We'll get into that later. But that is the most passive-aggressive trade demand ever. Isn't it?
It's fantastic.
Like, I don't want to leave Seattle. I like everything about my job in this franchise. But if you decide you want to get rid of me anyway, this is where I'd be willing to go. Come on.
It's fantastic. And again, you're right. It's a passive-aggressive trade demand. Let me ask you a question. You are a longtime observer of Russell Wilson's career and a believer from day one. Some of us took longer. Let me ask you this. Do you consider him an irreplaceable part? I think that's the question that this – like, I consider Deshaun Watson an irreplaceable part. Now, there's a story about him. We'll get into all of the quarterback go-round. But he met with David Culley, the new head coach, just to tell him, hey, I don't want to play here. But can they afford to lose him? And that's been the big dilemma and the big talking point. Russ is 10 years in. When you think of that team and when you look at them, can they afford to lose him? As much as it's passive-aggressive and not a demand of a trade, you have to ask from a team perspective, would you be better off letting him into the personnel meeting that he wants to go into or absolutely washing your hands of it?
It's a great question, and it's where this whole conversation really should start. That's the right place to start, because I think that not to answer a question with a question, but it's the same idea. Is Russell Wilson really better without the Seahawks? What we're talking about here is a relationship that is nearing a decade in length. And when that happens in sports, in life, in business, whatever it is, there needs to be something. Either people change direction and split, or they find a way to rejuvenate and refresh it, and so everything is good again. So I look at it this way, and I'll address your question. I think he is irreplaceable in Seattle, and I think that when you have a 70-year-old head coach, I don't think he's talking about replacing a legend in Russell Wilson, because that's what he is in Seattle. How does Pete Carroll come closer to winning another Super Bowl by trading Russell Wilson? So I think Pete Carroll is sitting there this morning or last night chomping on his gum, laughing to himself, thinking there's no way I'm getting rid of this guy.
Yeah, I think when you look at it like that, I think that stops a lot of this progress in this thing. We're going to talk about it. We'll break it down. We'll wonder whether if he could make the imaginary trade, David, how good would he be? How good would this guy be in terms of the pantheon of Bears quarterbacks, right? There's not a lot to really hold up against him. I would imagine we'd be talking better than Sid Luckman, which would be best Bears quarterback. If you brought this guy in, how dramatically would it change their fortunes? This would be manna from heaven from a Bears standpoint. And then you got to get into what would you not give up to make that kind of a move. I mean, there's a lot of elements to it, but I'm with you. I think it starts with the idea that are they really going to try to start from scratch in a place like that?
The other component to that, Mully, is that we talk about Pete Carroll's stake in this. If Russell Wilson truly cares about enhancing his legacy and becoming known as one of the best ever, as he, you know, you could see that's a reasonable arc of his career here. What would do that? Well, he wants to win another Super Bowl. And does that, do those chances improve by leaving Seattle? Because he's closer there, a franchise where he has won at least 9 games in 9 straight years, which is a remarkable statistic. But he's closer there than he would be in Chicago, frankly, in Dallas, frankly, if the Raiders and the teams that he's mentioned, Seattle still would give him the best chance. So those are the realities that we have to remember when we fantasize about Russell Wilson in a Bears uniform. But as we fantasize in a Bears uniform, I'm all for that intellectual exercise. I love that possibility. I'd be willing for the Bears to, I'd suggest that they give him Bronco Nagurski's number 3 if he wants it badly enough.
I think Cordero Patterson agrees with you, David. Did you see he's got a new profile pic?
It's him, great.
An arm around Russ. Come on.
He's assistant general manager, Cordero Patterson. He does that every time a guy pops loose, and he's aggressive. He is the he's a recruiting coordinator.
He's aggressive. He's not passive.
Yeah. He's right.
About
right.
any of his demands. okay, so we mentioned Deshaun Watson. We'll get into that. Marcus Mariota, how about this one? So I think what's a fun exercise to do, and we'll have to do it, is to just admit to ourselves that Deshaun Watson is not coming to Chicago. Because even if they figure out a way to trade him, he's not coming here. I don't think they have the firepower, starting with the pick that's number 20. Even if you start, if you think about it, if you start with the 20th overall pick this year, and then you go into next year and the year after draft, that would include him being here, which would mean that the 20th pick might be closer to the 30th pick in the following 2 years. These are not good draft picks. The Bears aren't the Jets with all the giant draft picks high in the draft ready to rumble. So it's a question of firepower to me when you talk about Deshaun Watson, other teams with more firepower than the Bears. And I think it's different with Russell Wilson, honestly, because of the limited number of teams. Now, having said that, if indeed Watson moves, that creates another domino. That creates someone else wherever he goes that would be moving as well. So there's other possibilities. But Mariota has – you want to talk about a poison pill in a contract? If he's the starter, his contract doubles. So his $10 million deal turns into $20 million. Now you're not trading for a guy that you can get at a decent price for what he is. You're trading for a guy that you're paying top dollar for, or, you know, pretty healthy dollar for, who might not be the answer at that position. And it apparently has slowed down the trade market.
Okay, so first, I agree that the Deshaun Watson stuff seems like a non-starter with the Bears because of what you described, the draft positions in the capital, also because unlike the Wilson scenario, there's no reason to believe that Deshaun Watson wants to be in Chicago. Sure. We're not, Chicago's not popping up on any imaginary list that he's submitting to his dysfunctional right. front office and said, I'll go there. So the way that the Deshaun Watson saga affects the Bears is how you described too, is that, you know, the domino effect. As for Mariota, Mully, I understand why you would be more hesitant in pointing out this, the way that the triggers in the contract and the cost isn't as affordable as maybe we once believed. At the same time, I don't think that should eliminate him from consideration, because I think that if you got 16 games, 15 games, if he was your primary starter, that means a couple things. He stayed healthy, he was effective, and he probably got you closer to where you wanted to go. And on the quarterback market, the starting quarterback market, that wouldn't be money foolishly spent. I think it would almost be a smart investment, because him at $20 million, if he's productive for you, is what you're looking for from a starting quarterback, isn't it?
I guess, but it would be closer to, well, his cap number is 11.35, so they'd have to
22.
Eat the cap stuff, right? So,
right.
Yeah, but it is close to 22. It's just, I don't know, David. I think that I like Marcus Mariota a lot at $10 million. I don't like him a lot at $20 million, because you're giving up something for the guy, And then you're limiting under a shortened cap, under a lower cap number, I'm talking about the team cap number, you're limited in the moves you can make once you get him. And then you worry again about who you got to cut, who you're not going to be able to sign back, you know, other elements of his presence that wouldn't have been a concern had we not just found out this information. I just think it's a more complicated puzzle now in terms of stacking who you get and who's around him. And, you know, we can't draft that guy. We can't go over here. We had to give up a pick there. And then we obviously can't re-sign him, or we're going to have to let him go. I just think that makes it more difficult. That's all.
It does. You're right. It's complex. And I was curious and kind of not suspicious, but why are we learning this now? It makes me think that maybe they were close to making a deal and somebody got a closer look at the contract and they said, whoa, let's not get that far ahead of ourselves because that is a little bit more than we envision spending. So I don't know that I would talk myself out of it yet, Molly. But I understand the reason for maybe proceeding cautiously. Look, I know some people and talked to a couple people yesterday that aren't crazy about the Russell Wilson idea because of the way that he is sort of this diva and known as sort of this guy who isn't the greatest leader at all times in terms of perception. I get that, but I would take that warts and all. I think that whatever concerns you have about Russell Wilson would be very easy to get over based on his capability and based on what he's able to do. I have him. He's a top five quarterback in my book in the NFL.
Totally.
Easily. Yeah.
Come on. I mean, really, you want to talk about picking nit? Who's perfect? Okay, let's say suddenly Aaron Rodgers is traded and or released, and he wants to come to Chicago. Are you going to say, "Well, you know what? I mean, I didn't like the way
he's
he handled the one
weird,
press
isn't
conference."
He?
Exactly.
He's a little strange.
Yeah, I don't.
What
think
an unusual
we should,
man.
You just jump.
Stop
you
dating
just,
actresses, yeah. please.
Look, he's going to because he's engaged.
Did you read the Athletic story though? I mean,
yes.
There's a lot of concern about Russell Wilson's ego and the way that he can maybe, you know, he demands a bigger part of this and a bigger part of that. So I think there are people out there with some Russell Wilson fatigue. I just think that in Chicago, you wouldn't have that until year three or four. And by then you'd think, oh, wow, aren't you glad you have this guy?
Yeah. I mean, you know, live in a desert and you will want water. Okay. So I'll take the bitter drop. I'll take dirty water if I have to.
Yeah.
We can always boil it.
Well, yeah. What you're saying, let Russ boil, right?
There you go. Let's try something. I was excited just at the news that the guy thought the Bears were interesting. The Bulls host the Suns tonight, right here on the Score. The Blackhawks with another victory last night, and Kaner, every time he plays, he's pulling off some, you know, career achievement, and who knows where this ends up, but 399 goals, that's extraordinary. What a career
and
this guy's had.
A clutch one. It was not, it was nil-nil, and he's coming down, he gets great control of the puck, and he scores a clutch goal in the box. Put away the Blue Jackets in a way that they haven't put away teams before, and they are a hot team. They're playing very well at this time.
No question about it. And as I said, the Bulls are playing tonight against the Suns. The Bulls have been a hot team, and you can hear it right here on the Score. The White Sox, we heard from Nick Madrigal yesterday. That's fun. Tony called him an artist. That's fun, meaning that the things he can do at the plate. And the kid said that you didn't even see any of it because of the separated shoulder. And he's another guy with a little something he wants to prove, and that's always a fun thing to have. How about Chris Bryant talking? We finally got to hear from Chris Bryant. And this version of Chris Bryant, the older and maybe wiser, maybe a little bit sadder Chris Bryant, is must-watch, must-listen to. I loved everything he said. Somebody got his phone number and sent to me, "Welcome to the Mets" text. Can you imagine?
With a Connecticut phone number,
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of
funny.
Cruel in a way, isn't it?
But he has, as you point out, a really good perspective. And every time he talks, you see just how far he has come. You know, not only as – look, everyone wants him to have a bounce-back season, but you even want that more once you hear from him because he's as likable as they come.
Yeah. You know, my wife at one point, her air conditioning – went off, so she had to drive her car to the dealership, which is kind of far away, And, you know, it's horrible. She got the windows rolled down, but it's very hot out. It was one of the hottest days ever. And she drops off the car, and they're working on it. And she's standing outside waiting for me to pick her up. And as I'm driving up, I see that she's just, like, you know, been left out in the sun. And this, you could see the distress because I couldn't have handled it. So I turned on the car seat, the heater on the seat. So when I picked her up and she got in, she for a second was like, oh, the air conditioning. And then she realized the heater on the seat was on, and she was upset with me. And I said, well, what was I supposed to do? It was a perfect opportunity for, like, a minor practical joke. And I really haven't heard the end of that one. A lot of children around here disappointed in me. But I thought it was funny. I don't think the Chris Bryan is funny. My point is, I'd pretty much do anything to just have a brief laugh with someone, even if they don't find it funny. I thought the Chris Bryan one was really mean. And it just was,
if that was a practical joke, that one fell flat, because I think if it results in a guy calling his agent to find out if it was true, that's not a very good joke. It's not very funny.
All right. We got IO news. How about that? He's going to apparently have to wear the Phantom of the Opera mask. It's not good. They won without him. He could not play. Suffered a broken nose. They called it a facial injury. But now there's a question of whether he will be able to return before the Big Ten tournament. And that means that you're going to play Michigan and Ohio State without him. And that would seemingly indicate it's going to affect your seeding in the NCAA tournament. So there's big news coming out of Illinois. They did win, as I said, 86-70 over Hoyball. So that's great. But Michigan,
yeah, but
took apart
the seeding.
Iowa. Yeah.
You worry about the kid. You worry about him coming back. You worry about him having a chance to take advantage of the opportunity to play in a tournament and on a team that was looking like a Final Four team.
Yes.
And you just feel terrible for everybody involved.
Right. And I mean, this is a guy that you thought might be player of the year. That's how good he is. So it's a huge blow if he's not able to play. And, you know, here's hoping. But we'll get into all of it. We've got to talk it all through. We'll bring in Dustin. We'll get to the 5 at 5. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. It's 5 at 5 with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top 5 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. 5 at 5 with Mully and Haw starts now.
If it's too much to dream the Bears could actually land Russell Wilson, is it enough for now to know he's reportedly got them on his list of teams to which he'd be willing to accept a trade? Unlike with Dallas, the Raiders, and the Saints, is it possible Wilson is an immediate hero just for his willingness to come here in an emergency trade situation?
Emergency trade, emergency trade. That sounds like a good one to me. I'm all over it. Yeah, I think it would be wonderful. I do think... honest to God, I think that Bear fans appreciate his interest. As crazy as that sounds, I think it's because there doesn't seem to be an acceptable or reliable option in its stead. And the idea that you could step up in that fashion, not only, I said this earlier, I appreciate the fact that he wants to be here. I think people will be delighted at the fact that he wants to be here. You never hear, the Bears aren't a destination place, let's be honest. It's not, we don't offer the great weather. It's not L.A. It's not Tampa, Florida, Miami, wherever Deshaun Watson wants to go or whoever he wants to socialize with so we can get pictures out there. Chicago, it's cold in the winter. It's windy for a quarterback. The fan base is behind you, and you have a possibility of being a legend here. I understand the appeal of it. I don't know that Russ can pass the Bears history quiz that he'd have to get before he would be allowed in the building. But I think that it says something about his understanding of having a great defense and being able to kind of do some things on his own. I get Dallas. They got a good offensive line, right? I don't know where the Bears are at with the weaponry around a guy like that, with the protection. This is one of the big issues. But I don't think there's anything that that they shouldn't do to try to get the guy if indeed he has them on their list. And I think that he'd be an immediate legend if he isn't already, just for showing interest.
Yeah, let us dream a little. Let us have fun with the possibility, get kind of drunk with potential today, and until it's now no longer can be, you know, a reality. But it's going to be a slim chance. But I think until you figure out what the Bears were doing on that list, you have to explore it. If you're Ryan Pace, you have to engage. You'd be willing to, as I said, you'd be willing to unretire Bronco Nagurski's number three. You'd be willing to give Russell Wilson play calling duties. You'd let him choose the game day menu. Whatever Russell Wilson wants, Russell Wilson should get. He immediately would become the best quarterback in franchise history. He instantly would make the Bears NFC contenders to get to the NFC Championship game. I think he likely makes Allen Robinson more excited about staying in Chicago and being a wide receiver on this team in this offense. There's really no downside, and I think the local response to Russell Wilson becoming a Bear would make Chicago's reaction to the Jay Cutler trade seem like a golf clap. I mean, this would be a response like no other that I think we've seen in terms of the Bears getting a player like this at this stage of his career. So he's 32. He wants to play 10 more years, and he looks good enough to do it. So, yeah, there's nothing wrong with this scenario, this idea, this hope. You got to think big.
Yeah, it's great news. It's cool that he put the Bears on his list. That's big. There's nothing wrong with that. That the only good can come of this. That's the main thing to keep in mind, because there's been a lot of thought that, boy, Chicago, for some reason, in the big picture for all of our sports, not just football or basketball, I mean, the free agents maybe don't want to necessarily come to Chicago for some reason. Mully mentioned the cold weather maybe, but it's a very livable city. It's a great city. Depending on the news that you believe, there's been lots rumored, lots reported, lots of stuff on social media that things are going in the right direction. Chicago is a fantastic summer city. I like that he put the Bears on the list. I really like what you guys said in the first segment of the show, this passive aggressiveness about the trade. If he wants to be traded, he needs to be like Deshaun Watson. Okay, he needs to put his foot down. He needs to put his flag in the sand, as some would like to say. Demand the trade. Well, I'm not demanding a trade, but if I was to demand a trade, or if it was a possibility, these would be the four teams that my wife and I would like to go to. But I do like that the Bears made the list. So bravo, bravo that the Bears are on the list. I've got more to say, but we've got another question on it, so I'll save it for the next question.
Well, I'm not sure if I'm available or not. That's a Seahawks question.
All right, time for a little Bears front office role play. You're Ryan Pace, and you know you are one of four teams that Russell Wilson would approve a trade of. How would you respond? Who do you work the hardest, Wilson's agent or the Seahawks front office? Are you excited about the possibility or already dreading the fallout because you know it puts you in an impossible situation perception-wise?
Well, I think no doubt if the Bears don't get Russell Wilson, people will quickly say, well, Ryan Pace couldn't pull it off. It doesn't matter what the draft, the compensation would be. It wouldn't matter if somebody else gets him. It would be Ryan Pace didn't do this. So that's just the reality of being here for 6 years, a long time. And you know, he's earned the skepticism, as we talked about. It's not about Ryan Pace as much as it is about Russell Wilson. And how do you pry him out of Seattle? I think you've got to go through the agent in today's NFL. I think you've got to work the agent to the point where he gets Russell Wilson to stop being passive aggressive. You're exactly right, Dustin. And Russell Wilson has got to make it clear to the Seahawks brass and Pete Carroll, which I think is probably one and the same at this point, depending on the control of the roster, but that it's an untenable situation moving forward. And if you thought he was difficult in the second half of last season when he reportedly stormed out of a meeting before the Cardinals game because they ignored or dismissed his ideas to improve the offense, tell them that that's going to be the new normal in Seattle if he has to come back. So that's why he doesn't want to come back, and make it seem like he would he would be very difficult to coach and to coexist with and make him seem like the possibilities would be miserable. So Pete Carroll wants to draft a quarterback and move forward that way. That's the best route, because I don't think that when you talk about the football sensibilities, these are smart guys in Seattle. Pete Carroll and John Schneider are smart guys, and they know they don't get closer to a Super Bowl next year, in the next 2 years, by trading Russell Wilson for draft capital. I just don't think that is the way to go, so you got to work the agent.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. Well, let's go back to the scenario. I'm Ryan Pace, okay? My first priority, I resign in shame. I just admit at the news conference that I never understood what I was doing, and that's why I followed things up to this horrible degree, and I'm tired of kind of just including George and Ted in my decisions just to keep myself covered. I admit all of it. Okay, I'm sorry.
Are you fired up about your future, Ryan?
That is, we're fired up. I talk like Joe Bernadine, and then people think I'm holy. I would totally work the agent. I try to work the player directly. Listen, you know, you've got it. What am I going to do? Call, hey, how's Seattle? You got the coffee go? You know, you ought to trade your best player to me because I need help over. How are you going to appeal to them to trade the guy? You got to appeal to him. Force a trade. Force a trade. Hey, Jay Cutler, you want out? Be the biggest jerk you can be and force yourself out. And you'll come right here. Not that we ever had this conversation. Don't let anyone know that we're secretly working on a deal. That's how you do it. I mean, it's not complicated. You've got to get to the player. You've got to have your secret negotiations with the agent. You got to reveal that, well, listen, you know, I'm going to be resigning in shame, so you could clearly take over my role. You do whatever you can do to get the player to force a trade, and then he picks you. It's as simple as that. You work that element, and you work it to death. That's your only hope of making a deal here.
We're fired up about that.
You're talking about covert collaboration.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone has to be a part of it. Listen, our culture is to covertly collaborate. Oh, boy.
First, I'd have to be on the elliptical, right, while I work on this. The elliptical and curling at the same time, maybe some jump roping, some swimming in my pool, the wave pool. So I'm getting ready for my triathlete. I think you have to sit back and you hope and you pray that this deal happens and that the Watson deal also happens, and that you sit idly by and you wait to see which quarterback is displaced by Watson, by Russell Wilson. And another man's trash is another man's treasure, okay? All the guys that could be displaced by either of those two guys are upgrades for the Bears. They're definite upgrades. Now, there's the whole money factor and all that kind of stuff. But whoever gets kicked out, there's not going to be a bunch of trade demands. So you don't have to give anything up. It's just about spending money. So I would sit idly by and wait for who is displaced. I know that's not the greatest the greatest go get them idea in the world, but I just, in being realistic, we can sit here and dream and fantasize and close our eyes and think about Russell Wilson running around in the number three again. You know, the one thing that is funny about Russell Wilson making the Bears part of his list, I mean, you know, Chuck Leno screams protect my backside, the guy who's been sacked more times in the NFL in forever, he wants that offensive line protecting him. That doesn't make a whole heck of a
no,
lot of sense.
No, he wants the market. Yeah. It's the market size.
It's the market size. It's also he thinks they're a quarterback away from the Super Bowl. What they need is me, and I will solve their problems, and their defense is good enough. That's what he's looking at.
You know, it's tough to be up here answering questions.
What stood out to you among the many things Chris Bryant had to say in his first Zoom meeting of the season? Is it his knowledge of the frequent trade rumors he's endured, his relationship with Jed Hoyer, or his willingness to return to the Cubs? Does he want them a lot more than they want him?
I think yes to the second question. I think he would like to stay here, and I think that they haven't even negotiated with him. There haven't been any overtures, and that doesn't make sense to me. I am totally digging this Chris Bryant. I think that we've watched him evolve into a different type of guy. And what I see from Chris Bryant that I didn't necessarily see before is this sort of candor, this willingness to sort of openly talk about stuff. I really enjoy it. The very fact that he told you the story about getting, you know, the welcome to the Jets message, and you know, who wouldn't overreact or react to that sort of thing? So he's got to talk to Jed. I think all the other stuff is great, but it's all born of this kind of different player that we've seen. And I know he says he's the same guy and that he's always been kind of the same, but he seems like he's a lot more open, and he seems like he's a lot more mature. And he doesn't mind telling you what he's thinking. And I think he's a lot more engaged in the process than he's ever been. And that's what jumps out to me. I like this version of this guy. I think it's great when a guy just, you know, do you ever feel like, there goes Chris Bryant again, you know, he's going to tell us another one of his stories. He's just truthful. He's got great candor, and he'll talk about it, and he's not shying away from anything. And that above all else stood out to me. And I also thought to myself, God, I'm going to miss that guy.
Oh man. Oh, see, now that just, when you say it like that at the end, it does, it hits you. I don't want to miss this guy, Mully. I don't want the Cubs to get to the position, and they start out strong and Chris Bryant's on his way, and then they trade him. I don't want them to trade him. When I heard yesterday was a young man who's pushing 30, he's 29 now, and he's a father, he's got perspective, he's always been somewhat, you know, kind of unusually humble for somebody in his role. I have always been, probably Chris Bryant's my favorite Cub for a while now. So I think that it's, you know, professionally, I understand all of the realities with his contract and that he turned him down and he's got Scott Boras representing him. So the chances decrease that he's going to sign a contract. All those things are true. And he did stink last year. I don't think he's ever denied that. I think he understands that pro sports, you're rewarded for results, and he hasn't provided them in the last year. But I just think that the longer he talks, the more you do respect and appreciate how far he has come. And we've seen him. So we talk about seeing guys grow up in front of us. I mean, when Chris Bryant was a rookie, when he was the hot prospect, you know, we would get a glimpse of him and say, isn't he a nice young man? It seems a little innocent. Is that ever going to change? I don't think he's changed that much. I think he's still this guy who enjoys baseball, would like if people would just not pay as much attention to him as they have, because he's a former MVP, and he is what he is as a baseball player. So I love his candor. I think it's not an act. It's as authentic as they come. And even though it's unlikely now, if today is a day for clinging on to the last shred of hope for our sports sort of fantasies or the far-fetched ideas, I hope the Cubs and Chris Bryant find a way to strike a deal to keep him in town, because Chicago sports are better with Chris Bryant in the city.
Wait a minute. David's favorite Cub is Chris Bryant? I thought it was David Bodie. I thought David Bodie was your favorite Cub. Chris Bryant.
How dare I?
Come on.
I forgot my own obsession.
That's your own guy. I do. By the way, I know that I just have to divert from answering the question for a second. I now have a new favorite Cub. I do. Any guesses? Anybody want to guess who my new favorite Cub is?
I don't know who you could see in person and marvel at how tall he is. I don't know.
Jake?
Ian Happ. Ian Happ.
I know why. Yeah.
Right back down Bernstein's throats with the analytics, huh? Yes, Ian Happ. Mm-hmm, my man, Ian Happ. You know, it's RBIs are no big deal. Okay, you know, Ian Happ, put him in his place. My new favorite Cub, Ian Happ. Now, to answer the question, Bryant looked more engaged yesterday. He sounded more engaged. He did stink last year, and he's not been great in the clutch. And he needs to get back to that level if he hopes to get the money that some teams are handing out. And I hope that he does, and I hope the Cubs give him that money. I agree with David. I want him to stay here. I like the guy, but he can't stay here and get paid that kind of money when he stinks out loud. And that's what he does right now. So he's saying the right things. The thing that set me back yesterday was like that he got a text message saying that he had been traded to the Mets from the area code of the New York metropolitan area, and he really thought that that's how he found out that he was in fact on the move. So that was the biggest thing yesterday, is that he really thought for a couple of seconds, minutes, half an hour, whatever it was, that he was on his way east and was going to be a Met, and that's how he found out about it.
Hope it wasn't Jared Porter.
It's a great question.
Tony La Russa likes to use the term, quote, observational analytics to describe how he incorporates data into his in-game managing. Does that imply he will be a willing or reluctant participant as the front office arms La Russa with information at their disposal 162 games a year? What would you prefer to see from La Russa?
Maybe we can ask him at 8 o'clock when he joins us. That's going to be a fun interview. Looking forward to talking with Tony La Russa. I think he's going to be a willing participant, Molly. I think that he's somebody that understands the value of analytics, but he does maintain, he's always maintained this sort of term observational analytics, which is a mix of both. I don't think you're going to ask a 76-year-old manager who has three World Series before analytics were, you know, as popular as they are today to be a slave to the computer. That's not realistic, and that's probably not going to happen. So, but he's here. As we have seen, I think, early in spring training, there is a willingness for Tony La Russa to immerse himself in everything about the White Sox culture, and I think that's part of it. And you like what you hear, and I would be surprised if he, you know, drew a hard line. He's trying to be flexible in his approach. You hear a guy who's willing to bend here and there on different things that, you know, he's been asked about or he's had to address for whatever reason. I think analytics probably falls under the same umbrella. You just can't ignore all the information, but you can't be paralyzed by it either. And you can't be, kind of beholden to it either. So there's a balancing act there that I think that Tony La Russa, you have confidence in his ability or his willingness to kind of balance it all. And I think somebody will be in charge of that. And you hope that they find, you know, the right mix of, you know, where to make suggestions and how to use that information to your benefit without being somebody who is just a push-button manager. I can't see Tony La Russa being that guy. I still think that his gut and his brain, his own brain, is going to be, that's the reason he's here. It's the reason he's in the White Sox dugout, and I think that will be what he leads with complementing that with the information that's provided to him by the front office.
I think this is an example of where the answer is within the question. So I think that they have information at their disposal for 162 games. There is tons of information. And, you know, you should focus on the information that helps you, what you believe would help you determine what you want to. But you should also look at it as an overview. I think the information that he supplies is the observational analysis within his brain. I think the man is 76 years old. He's done everything throughout his baseball life. He is a Hall of Fame baseball person. And when he looks at what a different player is doing, or if he sees something, he can apply that as more information that you use with the other information that's available to you. I think that, you know, everyone has a lot of the same information in baseball. Maybe Tony sees something, or he's reminded of something, or he recognizes something in a player that can help you to help the player. I think the guy has just done it for so long that tool, the learned brain, is going to be a valuable one for the White Sox. I really do.
I don't think Tony's anti-information. I think, as Mully pointed out and you pointed out, Dave, it's all about what you do with the information provided. I think in his opening press conference, he talked about, like, the three-ring binders. Remember, we used to have it, you know, back in the day.
Right.
Like, they were packed with information before we had the tablets and all this other stuff, and they'd be flipping through it. And back in the day, as a kid, I always wondered, like, what are they looking at when they'd show that on television? And I think even the broadcasters didn't really tell you or talk about what they might be looking at, which was the matchups, which was the splits, which was all these things. So I don't think he's anti. I think it's all about, and I know I always joke about the analytics. I like the analytics too, but I think you have to believe your eyes. You have to know the moment. I don't think the computer can know the moment. They can know the history and the matchups. And over 50 times when you're facing a left-handed hitter and there's a guy on first base, this happens. Okay, but there's more to it than just that. So I think Tony's eyes hopefully will not deceive him, and he can use the information, the analytics prior to the game. And once the game starts, I hope he's using his past managerial experience more than the metrics.
That Kasparov, is an unbelievably great question.
Kasparov beat Deep Blue. Sorry.
What do you make of Illinois star Ayu Dosunmu sitting out last night's game with Nebraska after suffering what was described as a facial injury on a flagrant foul by Madai Sasuko late in Tuesday night's loss to Michigan State? Coach Brett Underwood didn't offer a specific timetable on Ayo's return, and the player wore a plastic mask in announcing he would miss the game. Is this an NCAA tournament seeding issue or something more serious?
Well, if he's not able to come back, it's something significantly more serious, and it's robbing him of his season. It's robbing the Illini fans of their season. That was a bad foul, and he was thrown out of the game as a result of that foul. And Ayo stayed in the game and finished it, and then it turns out he's got this issue with the broken nose, and you never know how serious that sort of thing is. He did do a little announcement, and it was, hey, keep your mask on. I'm going to keep mine on, and he put on a Phantom of the Opera mask. But you don't know how that affects a guy psychologically if he comes back with one of those masks on, if it impairs his game in any way, if it reminds him to be careful and to be less aggressive, whatever that might be. It's not ideal because of where we are in the season. And yes, it definitely does affect his ability to kind of be able. Illinois is seeding in the tournament, and again, I do agree that that is not what is the most significant element of it. There is no specific timetable on when he will return, and so even if he gets back in time for the tournament, again, how will it affect the way he plays? You got to worry about that. But the guy's a hell of a player. I hope it doesn't affect his chances at winning the National Player of the Year. And it's, it's a real pity because it could impact not just his season, but the entire team season. And it really is, it's one of those things that's kind of unfair in life, and you got to overcome it. This team could have had a hell of a run a year ago, but they were playing great basketball, and they lost the tournament. That's life.
Oh, it's terrible. I mean, he has hit some huge shots this year.
Yep.
But that threatens to be the biggest play of the season because of what it will result in terms of their tournament hopes and dreams dashed. You don't want that to happen again. It's not fair to Illinois that was deprived the right to go in the tournament last year like everybody else. And this year, those guys came back for one purpose, and that was to win a national championship. And I think that they were trending in the right direction. Even after a bad loss, it was understandable. Brad Underwood wasn't that unhappy. But now a lot of these things seem like, okay, are we overreacting because he's going to come back and he's still going to be on the floor? But you just don't know. And that uncertainty is unfortunate because we just got done talking about Chris Bryant. And your mind goes to things, okay, how do players bounce back from some of these traumatic type of experiences? And some people believe that Chris Bryant's never been the same hitter since he got hit in the head or in the face, and you wonder about the effects psychologically on Ayo about getting this hard foul. And it was a hard foul. Look,
yeah,
this isn't 1990s Big Ten basketball. This isn't the Knicks and the Bulls. This is 2021, and you just can't have that. There's no place in college basketball for that kind of hard foul and flagrancy, and I just don't think that it was a good night, and it was hard to watch, and the repercussions are just too widespread to consider right now. You just hope that he comes back and recovers and gives that team a chance moving forward.
Now I'm going to go glass half full here. I'm going to flip it around. It was a bad foul. That's kind of what Michigan State's always been known for, is physicality. I don't want to say that Izzo coaches a dirty game, but he likes to muck it up and grind it out. I mean, they did it again last night. They knocked off Ohio State. So they beat Ohio State and Illinois back-to-back nights. That's Michigan State. Now, as far as the Illini, here's what it does. So Adam Miller had a bigger role last night. Now, he's always on the court, but with Io. So now he was kind of Io last night. It also gives another freshman, Curbelo, a chance to get some significant playing minutes and a bigger role in the game. I think they can handle Wisconsin without him. I don't think they could beat Michigan without him, and I don't know that they could beat Michigan with him. Michigan might be the best team in the country, and missing those games like they did, they might have fresh legs. This also gives Io a chance to really get some fresh legs, and it gives a couple of freshmen a chance to play in that backcourt together and against meaningful teams, get meaningful minutes and big opportunities. I think this could be a blessing in disguise in the long run. Now, if the first game in the NCAA tournament, DeSomo is awful and he can't hit a shot and all this stuff, you guys can rip me. But I think right now, in the big picture, this really could help, because they're going to learn that you just can't, with Jordan, I'm not trying to compare Io to Jordan, but he's kind of their Jordan, right? Like, when he has an off night shooting, everybody just, once they get into the three-point area of the court, it seems like they all just look to him. If they're not dumping the ball down to the middle, everybody just turns and looks and, okay, Io, do what you're going to do. We'll try to get a rebound or we're going to get back on defense. So now they're going to have to learn to play without him, and I think that could benefit the team.
I don't know. I mean,
I like that. I like that take. I don't agree with it, but I like the positivity.
I like your positivity. I like the glass half full, Dustin, but I don't know that a 21-year-old kid who plays a couple times a week has to worry about fresh legs. I mean, they're not traveling NBA players.
Maybe not. Maybe I went a little too far with the fresh legs for Io, but I really think these other two guys are going to learn to play in big minutes. And if he gets hurt again in the tournament, like I don't think he'll play in the Big Ten tournament, but I expect him to play in the NC2A tournament. Now, if he gets popped in the face, because again, if I was playing against Io, trust me, I'd be popping him. I'd be poking at it. I'd be getting in there. So if these guys have to step up, at least they're learning how to play without him. And I think that's important.
Would you be picking at his nose? Is that what you're saying?
maybe.
And your own. All right, there we go. That's the 5-5. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!